If the meek shall inherit the earth, then the Great Plains of the United States just might serve as their headquarters. Coming up in a bit today on Travel with Rick Steves, we'll hear from a son of the plains about the subtle beauty of the region some like to call the handkerchief of the Lord. Author Josh Garrett Davis shares his Prairie Home Confessional with us as a tribute to wherever you might call home, especially if you've had to leave it in order to rediscover its value in your life. Ireland is calling its emigres back home this year. Those who left recently looking for economic opportunity, as well as those of us who come from people who did the same in generations past. We'll get a heartfelt look at the Irish character today and how it's reflected in its musical legacy in just a few minutes. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves with a return visit from travel writer Robert Reed. His beat covers destinations in the USA for Lonely Planet. To help us put together a fun vacation theme, he joins us now to recommend seeing the top 40 sites of rock and roll at home and overseas. Robert, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Rick.
So, Robert, what a fun gig. You get to write about the top, we always think top 40 when it comes to rock and roll, but these are top 40 sites revolving around rock and roll. How did you get this job and what was it like?
Well, I kind of sneaked it in when no one was looking. I'm just a big rock and roll fan. And, you know, a lot of people go to historical sites and, you know, something you're familiar with and you see it in person and you have that experience and it changes your perception of it. Why not the same for rock and roll music?
For sure. Now, I went through the top 40 and I had the joy because I'm giving the interview, I can choose what I want to talk about here. I just had the joy of picking my top 10 or 12 stops on your top 40. I just want to go through these. We're going to have our own countdown here. Number 33 on your list, Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, Summer of Love, 1967.
Yes, I lived in San Francisco for 5 years, and you go to Haight-Ashbury, and it does feel a little bit like the Summer of Love. You know, there are plenty of places to get tie-dyed shirts and things like that. You know, all kinds of bands were sitting around here. Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, all kinds of things are going on. But it's one of my favorite record stores in the country is there, Amoeba Records. It's made from an old bowling alley. They have tons of dollar records. If you're not a vinyl fan, you will be.
Number 29 on your list. The Day the Music Died, Mason City, Clear Lake, Iowa. Airplane crash, 1959. What happened?
Well, Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper, it was their last flight. And they played at the Surf Ballroom in Mason City. And they crashed shortly afterwards in February of 59. You go to that ballroom, it's still open, and it's like a walk into that period. There's a free museum to see. There's some events. It's very much of that. And you can go out and see the markers nearby in Clear Lake where they died. It's such a poignant time in rock history.
So all of us know it from the American Pie lyrics, the day the music died, February 1959.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yeah.
Happy success to three young singers that ended in a very sad death this morning early in the cornfield near Mason City in Clear Lake, Iowa. You'll realize this is a very big day in the lives of many in our generation because this is a day that ended in tragedy for three of the biggest names in the music business. Around the world, the people that knew these...
Number 27 on the top 40, the Berlin Wall. Whoa, talk about the ultimate metaphor for angst and division.
I love Berlin. And, you know, Lou Reed has a kind of an underrated album from 73 called Berlin, just about, you know, the angst and division, really. But, you know, the most famous Berlin time is later with Bowie and Iggy Pop that were living there and recording albums. And Bowie's Heroes itself is really kind of a tragic love song about the Berlin Wall. So even though a lot of people don't associate that wall just with music, it has really touched music too, particularly if you think about Lou Reed and David Bowie. And hey, the wall, Pink Floyd, you know.
Yeah, now Pink Floyd is referring to the wall, right?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the Cold War and the Berlin Wall and all of that, number 23 on your list is the day the Red Elvis died. And I remember, and that's in Berlin, I remember when I was traveling around Bulgaria and Romania and Poland back in the Cold War times, there was one guy that was more famous than anybody else. And people in Eastern Europe thought he was like Elvis Presley, and he defected because he hated capitalism. He wanted to be communist. Mm-hmm. This guy's name was Dean Reed. He was a household word in communist Europe back before the end of the Cold War. Talk about Dean Reed.
I'm impressed that you know Dean Reed. I mean, they say that possibly a billion people first learned about rock and roll through Dean Reed. He was living in East Germany. He was huge in South America. He was big in like Mongolian China even. And he was the guy that was the only one allowed, you know, in the Soviet Union to play rock and roll because he was this Marxist. And he wrote these songs about the CIA and things like that.
So he defected. He wasn't American. He was from Colorado.
No, he was American. That's right. He was from Colorado.
So he actually did defect, but he wasn't a big shot until after he defected. But his shtick was the system over there, the propaganda organs, conned everybody into thinking he was a big shot that didn't like the American system, settled in the East Germany, right? And I remember back then my friends loved rock and roll. And they were from Christian families, and they weren't allowed to go to church. But once a year, they could go to Mass. It was Easter Mass, but they would schedule the only rock and roll concert of the year at the same time. So technically, the kids were allowed to go to church, but they had to make that Sophie's choice. And, of course, they would rather see somebody like Dean Reed doing that wicked capitalist rock and roll.
I travel to the east, I travel to the west. I don't care how long it takes, I'll never take a rest. I'm not a coming back.
Robert Reed's a travel writer whose gigs include covering the U.S. for Lonely Planet. We're looking right now at travel themes centered around the iconic sites of rock and roll and pop music. Robert also writes frequent blog entries on his website, readontravel.com. That's spelled R-E-I-D on travel.com. We also have a link to Robert's article called The Top 40 Sites of Rock and Roll. It's in this week's radio show details at ricksteves.com. Number 19 on your list is Hotel California in Beverly Hills. It's more of a metaphor, isn't it?
It is, but it's kind of patterned after the Beverly Hills Hotel, you could argue. That's the hotel you see on the album cover. Mm. And it's basically talking, you know, Don Henley, the song author, is talking about the glam life of L.A. That's the place people went, particularly in the 70s, for that. So you check in to the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I'm sure that you will be able to leave.
All right.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Number 15 on the list is my hometown in Seattle, the Experience Music Project. This is, you know, grunge, and Jimi Hendrix came from Seattle, so did Heart. So we've got a good music heritage here, and we also have a guy with a lot of money, the co-founder of Microsoft, Paul Allen, who sunk a lot of money into this museum or celebration. What's your take on the Experience Music Project?
Well, it's one of the great attractions in terms of like a traditional museum kind of thing and going in and seeing it, you know, every rock fan should go. It's also nice to remember that rock and roll isn't just East Coast, you know, that we talked about Haight Ashbury earlier, but, you know, the Pacific Northwest, huge part of rock and roll, and they have a focus on that. The Hendrix Room in particular is one of the highlights.
Number 14 on the list is on the other side of the planet in Rishikesh, India, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's Ashram. Of course, the Beatles visited that in 68. What's there left to see? How's that doing from a rock and roll relics point of view?
It didn't survive the Beatles too much. But, you know, we all see that idea of the 60s band going to a guru for mind-opening meditation. And it's there. But it's been abandoned for about 15 years. It's starting to get overtaken by forest. But that area is essentially the yoga capital of the world. And a lot of people go there for meditation and things still. So you could have the modern-day experience and then go out in the forest and see where the Beatles were.
Very nice. Next on the list, of course, Liverpool, home of the Beatles.
That's right. I mean, Liverpool is well aware that the Beatles are a big tourist draw for the city. You know, so you have, you know, a remade caravan, you have Fab Four taxi tours. But you can see that, you know, you see Penny Lane, you see Strawberry Field, where the song is based on.
You can visit every little obscure detail of Beatle heritage in Liverpool, can't you?
It's like going into the Yellow Submarine movie if you squint your eyes the right way. You know, you're really reliving so much of the Beatles.
Number 6, Abbey Road in London. Every Beatle fan who's a tourist to London heads on out to Abbey Road. They still got the zebra crossing made famous there from the Beatles album cover. What about Abbey Road?
It's a real nice area, the St. John's Wood of London, North London, Central London. The funny thing to do is, even before you get there, is go to Abbey Road's website. They have a live webcam and just sit there and watch because people go out and they stop traffic and they pose like the album cover like every minute. I mean, they're just constantly all day. It's really funny to watch.
Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you?
Number 2 on the site, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio.
I think it's one of the great museums. I mean, Ian Pei did it in a, you know, a pyramid like the pyramid outside of the Louvre that he designed. I mean, that is the Louvre of rock and roll. You have so many things that they can only show a portion of at any time. So if you go, you've seen it a year ago, You go the next year, and there's like new exhibits. My favorite one was this handwritten letter to Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones in the mid-60s that said, "I'm writing on behalf of 640 kids in Fiji who all hate you."
Oh, my goodness.
Really non-Mick Jagger fans, apparently, in Fiji. But funny little things like that.
Why, of all the places in the United States, would a great museum to rock and roll be in Cleveland?
The term rock and roll started in Cleveland. You know, DJ Alan Freed started using it in 52, and basically to try to market kind of rhythm and blues music to a wide audience.
That was back in 52. And they still have like as many live rock venues as any other city, don't they? Just it's really happening from a live rock and roll point of view.
Cleveland is a real surprise. It's a lot of fun, good food, and there's live music everywhere every night of the week.
Okay, number one on Robert Reed's top 40 world's rock and roll sites. What's the number one rock and roll site that we could see anywhere in the world as far as you're concerned?
The first person ever inducted to that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Chuck Berry. The man himself, he's from St. Louis. He plays at this kind of kitschy rock and roll club in St. Louis once a month for $35. I finally got to do this 2 months ago. I've always wanted to do it. You get there 30 minutes early. I'm front row center in a little club of 200 seats. And Chuck is playing with his son and his daughter, and it's great fun. He's 86 years old, and he's still playing for a little while, so go quick. If you don't know Chuck, he is rock and roll.
Number one site for rock and roll fans, a living legend, literally, Chuck Berry in St. Louis, Missouri. Robert Reed, thanks so much for celebrating rock and roll and helping us spice it into our travel plans.
Thanks. It's fun. Rock and roll forever.
Go, go!
Next, we'll get a taste of the powerful live music being played at outdoor concerts and in pubs throughout Ireland, especially this summer. Two Sons of Ireland tell us why they're extra excited about the special gathering that's happening in their homeland, and they'll demonstrate their country's passion for its traditional music. That's just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.